Stop by Sherwin-Williams and get 30% off select paints and stains May 2nd through the 12th. It's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Refresh your home inside and out with colors that make every space feel brand new. From cozy interiors to stunning exteriors, we've got the perfect shade for your next project. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Here we go. How about that, man? That intro music had me grooving, absolutely grooving over here, man. The lights are on. The music is grooving. Welcome into From the Pink Seats podcast live. It is here. Spring football eve. We are two sleeps away, gentlemen, from spring football. Here it is. We are super excited. Football is back. I keep saying that, but it's actually back. We're going to get to watch football together on Friday. Yeah, I never left. That's right. But it's like actually games in a stadium where we can all get together. We can drink beer. We can watch football. It's extremely exciting. From the Pink Seats podcast is a part of the State of Louisville Podcast Network, powered by Kern's Corner, brought to you by the fine folks at Frankfort Avenue Liquors and Wine, 211 Frankfort Avenue, right next to the Manhattan Project. Fellas, over the last 24 hours, I've become an expert in one thing.
The portal?
I've always been an expert.
Expert in the portal?
Yeah, right. Photoshop. Photoshop's a good place to start. I have become an expert at reading cryptic DMs. Okay, I think I could see DMs exchanged between the world's biggest criminals,
and so I can you figure can read out Cam Newton.
Yes. So that's what I've been working on the last 2 days. I don't know enough about this football thing. Maybe we'll talk about that a little bit, but we'll talk more about the cryptic Twitter side of things. I'm Jacob Lane, joined tonight, as always, by my good friends here, producer Keith, Matt McGavick, Vince LeCoco. We are excited to talk football. As Vince said, football never left here on this show, but we are excited to be back talking spring football. And you can get involved in the show right now, tonight. You shouldn't wait. Do it right now. Let us know that you're here at Pink Seeds Pod, at the State of Lou. Thank you all so much for tuning in. Excited to talk football tonight. Fellas, how we doing?
Phenomenal.
Yeah, your internet's not doing so much. So phenomenal. Yeah, I know. You look like you're stuck in 1992 on a dial-up internet. Makes me think of all the days of just like trying to get on the internet on AOL, and it's like the tone, and you're like, man, I don't know if this is gonna work.
Yeah, I know. Mom, right? I'm sitting over here, fingers crossed that I can make it through this stream.
Mom yelling at you, telling you you're holding up the phone.
Yeah. Right. Oh, that's exactly what I did before this. I went and grabbed Emmy's phone, and I'm like, what, Wi-Fi? We turned off the Wi-Fi. I'm off the Wi-Fi.
Other gentlemen, how we doing?
It's trying to keep up with all the rumored portal moves, the confirmed portal moves, the BS. Just
yeah. So here's what I'm picking up between.
I was told to hit the portal.
Oh, were you? Oh, yeah, you were. But that's right. By Five Star, they just want you to go up the street, though. They're not trying to get you out of town.
Yeah,
they just want you to go up the street since you lost your location. I really appreciated that. That actually might have been one of the highlights of the week.
That was funny.
You're gonna have to press them and see what their NIL package is.
There you go, man. Make sure you get at least some free sandwiches.
Coffee, I can live with that.
Yeah, but we got to negotiate the frequency on that. Is it one a week, two a week, unlimited? I say we get unlimited up here.
Six. I think you could raise that up to like eight, just to get a couple at your leisure. No, you're
worth enough to cover our road trip to Notre Dame.
There you go. Yeah,
that's an easy drive, boys. I'm so excited for that.
Man, I'm telling you, one of these days, Five Star is going to hook us up. We're going to be the Five Star tailgate. They're going to bring out all of the fried bologna sandwiches, and we're just going to hand them out, and it's going to be a great partnership. We're going to speak that into existence tonight on the show. Oh, how about that?
Pimento cheese sandwiches for days.
There we go, man. Ooh. But what I was going to say was, on one of the things that I noticed about Matt, and I've known this, but I really, like, I tried to press Matt on Monday in the radio show for something that he's doing personally, like just a personal life. Anything. Like I took a walk, I watched a show. Matt literally, like, you ask him how he's doing, and his answer is to default to the portal. Well, like, oh, just watch the portal. Like, literally, I believe that is what he has done since the moment he woke up for the last 4 days until the moment he goes to bed. There is not a single thing of personal, life happening for Matt anywhere in that time span.
I took Maynard to the dog park.
That's true.
Is like a block away.
And that I know what dog park you're talking about because it's right across the street from my office. That's a great dog park, man. And that mural on the wall is beautiful with the golden retriever. Absolutely wonderful. Keith, how are you, man? You've been all over the world the last couple of days.
Yeah, I am fighting day three of a very vicious hangover. Long story short, went to Nashville for a wedding. Shout out Colin and Sarah. I have no idea why you would be watching this, but if you shout out.
Shout out in case, just in case.
So we got down there. So wife wrapping up a degree. Shout out to Deployments Holden College back there. So she got done with class at 8 p.m.-ish Thursday night. Drives from downtown Chicago back to our place. We get our stuff packed up. We're out the door by about 10 o'clock-ish. So we roll into Nashville by about 5 a.m. Friday morning. I get about 3-4 hours of sleep, and then I just proceed to punish my liver nonstop until Sunday mid-afternoon when I have to start sobering up to drive back.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
I love there it, you man. Go.
The liver is a muscle, and you must train it until failure.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But look,
exactly.
You get another opportunity. The great thing about life, you get another opportunity on Friday, man. We can try it all over again, brother.
I'm ready.
PR every weekend.
Wreck that liver for just the sake of spring football.
Just going to keep training it until you get cirrhosis.
If you're going to be dumb, you got to be tough. And I'm pretty tough. So
yeah, look at that. That seems like a life lesson that Vince taught you, man. That's how I know you're a real football guy, because that's like a Vince-ism right there. Well, hey, we're going to get into a bunch of topics on the show tonight. I know we kind of talked about a little bit, teased the portal. That is really the main topic of discussion around here. I mean, just the amount of sheer insanity that has taken place online.
Thank you, John. Appreciate you.
Yeah, Matt, you didn't need to make his head any bigger. And you did, figuratively and literally. I see your head growing right now, Matt. Literally,
grew three sizes.
Yeah,
got the Christmas colors already.
Yeah, but just to give our audience a little insight into the show, Vince, his internet is really—if you couldn't tell by the fact that you can barely see him—his internet is not functioning at its at peak spring football form right now. He's still in practice one. As we head into the spring game. But we're going to talk about the spring game. We're going to talk about what to watch as we get to less than, 48 hours away from the game on Friday. Looks like the weather is going to be really nice, right, so far from what I've seen. I know storms are coming through starting late tonight, I think, or early in the morning. I don't know. I should probably know this. But
I'm going to check right now just for our viewing audience.
Yeah, we need a weather update. Meteorologist.
Yeah, I'm coming from out of town.
Yeah. We need to give Keith an update on what he should wear, what clothes to pack. Honestly, that's a changing topic by the day. So we'll dive into the weather. We'll talk about the spring game, but we want to hear from you all what you're excited to see. Obviously, the energy has been at an all-time high this offseason. Things have kind of been weird this week. Like, I'm not going to lie, it's really weird. Every time I get on Twitter, I find another DM another screenshot of DMs where I'm like, is this a real DM? I don't know. Are they really eating ass? Are they not eating ass? Just obviously kidding. Obviously kidding. I'm kidding. If you know, you know. But we're going to talk about the transfer portal as well, because there are obviously.
I completely forgot what I was doing.
Here we go. Look at this. That's a crystal
clear.
Yeah, man. With some kind of weird. Oh, it's a microphone. I thought it was a microscope for a second. I was like, oh, here we go. Back to vertical. Back to vertical video. Number one, do not go to now we're zoomed up on his face. We are really going through it here tonight. Oh, my God.
All right. So I'm going to grab the steering wheel while Vince gets set up. Obviously, things have been weird yesterday and today. Before we dive into that, we wanted to talk a little bit about the spring game Friday and what's coming up, and we're excited for it. And Jacob posed an interesting question, gave us a little bit of time to think about it. What are some bold predictions for the spring game? So, Jacob, I will let you lead us on this one, as you were the one who posed the question.
Sure. Well, it's really hard, first of all, to predict bold predictions of anything at a spring game, right?
Spring game, yeah.
Right, exactly. But here, look, what is this show about, Matt? Is it about just talking, you know, the top level of football, or is it diving into the nerdy details? Because You're gonna need to mute yourself. We've got a lot happening here. This is the show is coming off the rails very quickly with the outside things out of our control here. But yeah, I think it's really hard to predict bowl predictions out of a spring game. But I think when you start to kind of like once we see the format, once we see how things kind of go down, I think what we're going to walk away seeing, my bold prediction here, is that there's going to be a couple of players that stand out, right? Always the quarterback, Keith. Always they stand out, right?
Oh, yeah.
Either good or bad. and typically you have like a skill position player that has a massive day, whatever the case is. But then, you know, I'm really looking on the defense. I'm really looking here because of what I've seen during spring with the guys and who's been running out there. And where I'm going with this is – Stanquan Clark is going to be the defensive MVP of this game. Like, I think he is going to be a guy coming off the news of Jalen Alderman, you know, going to the portal, which we're going to talk about here in a few minutes. Big, big loss, in my opinion. But I think you're going to see Stanquan Clark step into this, and we're going to see during a spring game, like a controlled scrimmage, a guy like that is going to pop. Like, that's my prediction for this. At bold, I don't know. Who knows? What about you? What do you think?
Well, he's a young guy, too. So you would expect guys like him to get a lot of reps and get a lot of play out there in the spring game, because the whole point is to get the young guys out and on the field. So I don't know necessarily how bold this is. I think the spring game, Harrison Bailey seals up QB2. I think he's going to go out. The experience and the arm talent and the arm arrogance is going to be shown off. He's going to have a chance to actually make some throws, make some plays, and he's going to snatch that QB2 spot in his last year of eligibility.
Man, I'm having a time over here, fellas.
I can tell, man.
We noticed.
If you all couldn't tell, I felt like I was somebody's 70-year-old grandparent right there, because I was, why am I not showing up on video? Well, it turned out I just, you know, clicked my front camera.
It looked like you had it like facing like a little,
it was like a red and yellow screen.
Yeah, it's Yaya. It's some Bucks fan tweeting about Yaya Diaby right now. I mean, it's like, it's incredible. It's incredible. I think Shuck obviously is going to be the highlight of the spring game. I mean, it's obviously not a bold prediction or anything, but I mean, I expect at least like 3+ touchdown passes from him. You know,
I want a bold prediction.
Our defense, our secondary is good. Okay, 3+ bold, can use this kind of bold.
We'll say, you know, 3 touchdown passes, but like 2 of those will be 60+.
Okay. Ooh. Okay. I like that. That's
Is that bold for you, Jacob?
Yes, that's super bold, man. That's great. I like that. I actually really like that, because, you know, one of the things that I think we're kind of gleaning from some of the deflections so far, and again, we're going to really dive into the kind of nitty gritty of this here in a few minutes, but what the deflections we're seeing would lead you to believe one or two things, or maybe both. I don't know. That the running back room has a lot of depth, and that the offense may not be as run heavy as it was last season. If you've got a quarterback who can chuck it, right? I mean,
chuck it football.
Right. You can chuck it deep. Like, if you have a quarterback, though, that you can lean on it. And this is my take to Matt. I don't know if I ever said this on the air when we were doing the Rutherford show on Monday, but I told Matt in one of the commercial breaks, like, if you really, like, pay attention to Jeff Brohm, and when he does his media availability, he's very vanilla, like, keeps it very basic. You know, he kind of highlights a few things here and there, but he doesn't really dive into details. He doesn't really ramble. You know, he just gets to his point and he goes on to the next question. Whether it's his wedding or him as a football player, if Tyler Shuck gets brought up in a conversation in media, Jeff Brohm, I mean, he did it on The Space with Drew Diener. He'll ramble about Tyler Shuck for like 5 minutes. And you're like, Jeff, like, are you okay, man? Like, I've never heard you talk this much about one player.
I think he's excited.
He's got a man crush.
Because he hasn't had a quarterback. I mean, think about the Jeff Brohm offenses, even going back to like Brandon Dowdy at Western Kentucky. He's never really had anybody with some wheels.
Yeah.
So he's got some wheels paired with his normal arm talent. So I think Jeff's really excited about, you know, the opportunity to open up the offense a little bit more like that.
Yeah. All right, I'm trying to read through some of these comments in real time. This is a new world here from when we used to do like Zoom and we just talked to each other. Now we're managing multiple screens. We got Ugly Matt just peering out of nowhere, like the digital world. Like, I'm here. Like, you good? Did you get the dog to stop? Did you put him in another room? What's your go-to here? Peanut butter?
No, I had to corral both myself and my dumbass dog in my room. So, you know.
Okay. Yeah. So you went from the couch to the bed or at a desk?
Just
what are we doing here?
Some pets. No big deal.
Yeah. Just want some
he gets
love,
plenty
man.
Of pets. He's spoiled.
What kind of bold prediction do you have for spring? I don't know if you heard Vince, but Vince thinks that we're going to have some 60-plus yard type of touchdown plays from Tyler Shuck, really, you know, leaning into the big play offense. What do you think, Matt?
I'm going to go with someone. Who'd you say was going to be a defensive MVP? Did
Stan
I hear Kwan that correctly?
Clark. Yeah, Stan Clark. Clark. Yeah.
I'm going to go with – I think it'll be someone on defense that's going to be MVP. But I'm going to go with – Aaron Williams.
Yeah. He's gonna, a lot of people are going to be like, who's number four? Like a lot of people will spend that this game. Like this is where this happens. You come, you got to have your program. Okay, guys, that's my number one piece of advice. Print your rosters. Internet's a little shaky sometimes when we're all trying to figure out who number 36 is. So bring your programs, get your rosters out and be prepared to flip through that thing because you're going to be asking, who is this? Because we didn't see that last year.
Sneak onto your friend's computer in the office, print it out so they're the one who gets blamed for it, not you.
Yeah. Still their ink.
That's a new one, Keith. I'm going to have to put that one in the bank.
I got to tell you, this just real quick. Speaking of ink and print, what is going on, Matt? Did
spaceship I'm using my iPhone. I'm using my iPhone as a
You're beautiful. You are it's, beautiful.
It's, great.
Man.
It's bright as hell.
You look but, great. You
know, I'm just kind of adjusting stuff on the fly because I thought that, you know, Maynard was not going to be a royal asshole. But,
yeah, the dog's doing this thing. But what I was going to say is, speaking of ink and print, I went to the store today to buy like print cartridges. What the? Why are they so expensive, man? Come on, like it's
they
ridiculous.
Were years ago,
what? Like, yeah, you thought the like I guess. I don't know. I thought printers were like a dying thing in the home. What, like, do you print stuff often? I don't print anything. I don't know.
I mean, offices still do all the time, but
yeah,
I guess for like personal use, not really.
Yeah, I just even at work, I don't print a lot. I was blown away by the cost of printer
cards. Oh, you would have thought printing. Go up in the football office and check how much print paper gets printed on this thing every day.
Yeah, I can only imagine.
I think the quote was, to me and the rest of the student assistants by somebody on Satterfield staff, I don't care if you have to burn down the rainforest, get it right.
Yeah. <That's> a... I've been there, though. I used to work for a guy years ago who would print everything. Like, I'm talking like, I mean, he probably would go through hundreds of pages a day. Like, talk about your carbon footprint, man. Not a good look for you if that's the case. Back to spring football. Obviously, Tyler Shuck is going to be kind of, again, one of the big things that everyone coming to watch the game, whether you've been connected into spring or not connected in the spring, will be really watching for because he's new, just like Jack Plummer last year. We want to see it, you know, and kind of see what the offense looks like. Is there anybody else personally? Like, I know, Matt, you and I talked a little bit about this, but Vince and Keith, I'm curious your all's opinions and the audience here, too. I want to make sure we're getting some of these comments in here. Is there anybody y'all are like really excited to watch and see participate in, outside of just like a practice or scrimmage?
I was actually going to mention that because I was just going to bring up this comment just because Ramon Perrier, he has looked super dominant, and it's interesting because I'm not sure if this had something to do with maybe Perrier's personal growth and development, or maybe just something they did because of, you know, the roster makeup of the defensive line. But I mean, he spent last season playing like as an interior defensive tackle, and it looks like that he got bounced back out to defensive end, and like quite frankly, he looks really good. I mean, if they didn't have, you know, Ashton Gelati and Tyler Barron, I would think that Ramon Perrier, excuse me, would probably be in line to start.
So what help me understand this, like, where is he going to play positionally? Like, because you have Ashton, who is obviously going to man one spot, and last year that other my mind is like blanking on lineups last year, but I can't remember who the other hand in the dirt defensive lineman was, but I know you had Mason Rager and Stephen Heron. Yeah, but they kind of split that edge role, right? So is that going to look this year if Ramon is playing defensive end? Like, is he going to be that backup to Ashton, I assume, or is he going to play some of that stand-up rush linebacker type? Like, because that's pretty cool.
I would expect Ramon to have a hand in the dirt. He has.
That's what I would think too.
Yeah, in that style.
So, I would expect that as well. And, you know, you can rotate through quite a few D linemen. Like, just on the edge alone, you're probably going to see 3-4 guys rotating, even more than that, depending on the game. So guys like Adonijah Green's probably going to get a lot of in-game reps this year, which is really exciting for a redshirt freshman to be coming along that fast. And guys have just been raving about him as well. Mm-hmm. And then me and Matt having a little side conversation, Micah Carter, the St. X kid, he's been looking good in spring too. So
the D-line he got a might few, be... Yeah, he got a few first-team reps in the last open practice, so that was nice to see. Now, granted, I think some of that might have to do with the fact that there are some injuries at the position. I mean, Barron's hurt, Riger's hurt. I don't know what Riger has, but I know Barron, he's had a sling a couple times I've seen him. So I don't know what exactly he's got, but it's like an upper body type of injury.
Yeah.
It's just surprising to know how deep we actually are at those positions to where – some of the stuff that may or may not be happening might not be as painful as we initially expected. Yeah. So
you're spot on, man. When you start talking about the number of guys, we've had the same conversation. We're going to continue to have this conversation for a long time because there's still like 100 something days left, like 137 or something like that. College football has the longest off season of any sport in, right? Am I wrong for that? I've always felt that way.
It feels like it.
I mean, seriously, it feels like they're like off for 9 months, and coaching, 10 it's months.
Really, really short.
Yeah, I bet.
I think it's because, like, they play some of the fewest games out of, like, any team sport. I mean, you play at a minimum 12 games, and then you're done.
Yeah, that's a good point. This year, that's going to increase. I mean, college football is going to go on through what it's usually done, you know, New Year's Day or, you know, the week after New Year's, like that. 7th to 8th typically this year. I mean, it's going to go what until late January, right? And that what
well, we also
the calendar lays out.
We kind of got that funky extra week, which is why teams are getting an extra bye on the calendar. I believe it's still 12 minimum games. Fingers crossed for Louisville, we're playing at least 14. So, mm-hmm.
15. I'd like 15. That sounds
like a good Louisville number. Doesn't schedule any events on June 9th. That would be.
Yeah.
Okay. You know we gotta be at the UFC event.
Yeah, that's all after spring football, Vince is shutting it down until June, until UFC comes to Louisville, man. And then it's right back into full go.
Yeah, can we get State of Louisville like media passes and stuff for that?
Yeah, that's man. Really I can do that. I need you to go like
I got this one.
You see the video years ago of the referee, I think it's in boxing, like who, like, you know, the boxers are going back and forth and he's like this, like with them, like all hyped as they're going back and forth. That would be Vince on the sideline as a media member. Like he would go viral simply for his reactions to some of the fights. I think it's just going to be, there's so many interesting things that are going to be going on Friday. I think the number one thing I was thinking about this is I was, interestingly enough, folding my laundry. How about that? That's a great time for thinking football. But I was wondering, you know, kind of like, what are we going to be talking about on Friday? What's going to be the big storylines? And immediately I was like, oh, Matt's going to be out there 2.5 hours early determining what players are actually there. Like, that is going to be, yeah, look at his face. He knows that's going to be, Matt's going to be firing it off. Like, here comes, you know, it's Trevante Sylvester. Here comes whoever, Luke Burgess. Like, he's going to be confirming who is in the portal based off.
My God, that's Penny Boone's music.
Right? Exactly.
Oh, God. Oh, my God. Penny Boone's the Undertaker. He's coming to get you. It's like Beetlejuice. You say his name 3 times and then he shows up.
Is Penny Boone haunting my room? What the fuck just happened?
The ghost of Penny Boone. The ghost of Penny Boone.
Stop saying it, Matt.
Yeah. You say it one more time, you're cooked.
It's gonna ask like his screen's just gonna be gone. Like it'll be black and then to the waiting room. Now let's move on. We'll go ahead and are we good? All right, now I'm
okay. Concerned. I was just okay, messing with you. Okay. I started to say it and I kicked him out.
This is fascinating. Again,
don't you love a live show, everybody?
I'm freezing too, so let's just not mention him again. No.
This is why we've been recording shows for 3.5 years up to this point, because we were not clearly not prepared. This is amateur hour at its finest. No, let's move on. Let's talk transfer portal, because that's, I think, what most people are interested in. In fact, Keith, Matt, somebody, let's go ahead and blast that out to the web. That's what we're getting ready to start talking about, because I know that's been a big topic of conversation. So try to get some more people in here tuned in from the Pink Seats podcast. Jacob Blaine, producer Keith, Matt McGavick, Vince Lococo, Frankfurt Avenue Liquors and Wine brings you the show. Transfer portal has been the big topic of conversation. It started with these very weird messages from this kind of like one of these, you know, the verified checkmark these days makes it very difficult to know who is legitimate and who is not legitimate. You got to get in there into the profile and really dig around to find out, right? So we start to see these messages leaked and these comments about Louisville's NIL and whether the checks are, you know, actually clearing and that there's some, you know, maybe some discontent. And it just spirals. Like, it literally just spirals in a matter of like 12 hours into places that's like, is Louisville broke? Like, is Louisville, are all the players leaving because they're not getting paid? And the internet can make you believe some really crazy things. I think that's one of the lessons that we've learned this week. We learned that. I feel like we've learned that a lot over the last 5 to 7 years as Louisville fans, mm-hmm. about the internet's powers of being able to shift the narrative and control a story.
I just hate like the false, like, I hate when players have to come out and confirm that, I'm not hitting the transfer portal. I'm like, it's so ridiculous.
Yes.
And it gets
so. That's the day and age we live in at this point, man. So, Matt, walk us through the kind of – we see the messages. We hear this information. There's some rumors. There's some pictures on the message boards about Penny Boone maybe going somewhere else. And then it starts to kind of unfold. Help me understand the timeline of this. Like, just what happened? What is happening? Do we know?
Trying to figure out what exactly was, like, at the – crux of this whole issue. I mean, in a word, if I had to guess, I think like agents are probably the most at play here. I mean, so I don't want to speculate too terribly much, but that's what it sounds like, especially with Penny Boone's agent, you know, kind of getting on the Twitter machine and, you know, trying to vouch for his guy. And then, because at first you see the reports that, you know, 4 offensive linemen are going to enter the portal. And then in the days since, literally all but one has come out and refuted the report. And that was from Pete Nakelson on 3. And then Brandon Marcello, who fed him his information, because Marcello is a reputable guy. Like, he is someone where, like, if he says sources is telling him, he's going to double check things. And he's someone that you can trust. And for him to get in a report that's so egregiously, I don't want to say false, because like a couple of those guys in there, there's some rumors floating around, but.
Well, none of them have hit yet.
Yeah.
That was listed in the original Marcello tweet, which I do want to give him his flowers. Like, he deleted the tweet, came out, apologized, explained what happened. If you're going to do, like, if you goof, you own it. And that's exactly what he did. So I want to at least give him a tip of the cap there to own when things went wrong. He called Jeff Brohm personally to apologize. So
I can only imagine how that call went. I can only imagine. And if you didn't, I mean, before Jeff, man, Greg would get you. I mean, I would be more afraid of dealing with Greg than I would be Jeff. In all honesty, man.
Yeah. Screw that. I'm like, I wouldn't want to deal with Rocco either.
Yeah. Right. None of them. Yeah. So, okay. So we've got some comments coming in here. Let's throw those up here on the screen here, Keith, if you don't mind, but let's walk through the players that we know are leaving. Okay. Because we've kind of walked about this narrative, but I want to state the facts, right? So originally we saw a report of a couple of players going into the portal. The only one at this point that has been confirmed from that group of offensive linemen is Ruben Unigi from Houston, right, Matt? That's the only offensive lineman.
That's the only one. Yeah.
Okay. Penny Boone, also in the portal. We now know that. Matt shared the video this afternoon from Penny's Instagram. Man, we'll talk about that here in a second. We'll spend some time on that.
Is he officially in the portal yet?
Penny is now, as of like half an hour ago, officially in the portal.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. So there you go. And then we've got Jermaine Lole, which, you know, wasn't necessarily expected, but it makes sense. And Keith, you kind of highlighted this earlier. Shout out to John. Thank you for
tuning in and listening, John.
Yeah, of course, man. Absolutely. Anytime. So, but Keith, you mentioned that, you know, you're one of the things I want to just kind of set up here. I know I'm all over the place, but Keith is new to the show, but Keith is probably as equal of a football guy as like Vince, like through and through. Now Matt's a media guy, but he's a football guy also. I'd classify myself as a football guy, but I've made it very clear. I didn't play football. There's only so much my knowledge only goes far so far, but Keith is not only did he play, does he have the expertise, but he also is a hawk on watching football news, especially college football news. So he's tapped into the portal. He knows what's going on with some of the other teams across the ACC college football. So his expertise has been really interesting. And what he told us was that there is a bag available for a guy like Lole in the portal right now. Right, Keith?
Yeah, so as of right now, the defensive line, specifically the defensive tackle market, is pretty scarce. So you're going to see guys like Jermaine Lole and why am I blanking on his name right now? Like the top D tackle in the portal right now is a guy coming out of Kent State.
Okay.
All-conference guy. Nice ball player, but curious to see what he does against a higher level of competition. But just looking at Jermaine Lole's official visits he's got lined up, he's got teams like Washington, Oklahoma, USC all on the visit board. And he was a guy who, while he was good for us, he wasn't someone who was immediately standing out on the field. It's like, oh my God, who's that big dude who's just eating triple teams all game? They can't run. He wasn't that type of game changer for us. And he's getting visits for power two, if we're going to use that term, or top two.
I don't like that. That's going to take
the core four.
I saw that one. Yeah.
Notice all those schools you talked about are listed too, Keith. Like they're all West Coast schools. You know, why not go get a bigger bag? And I get to go play closer to my family. I mean,
well, and
closer to family.
You mentioned Oklahoma, so SEC, right? I mean, that's the best of both worlds. I mean, it's more Midwest than it is anything else, but. It's SEC football and you get to go to Oklahoma, get paid. I mean, heck man, that's a good deal.
Texas ATM was the other school. So another SEC school. What did I say something funny?
And then today
it took me a second to like process that.
I know. I almost was like, that's not what they're called, but I, it clicked. Jalen Alderman goes into the portal, earlier this afternoon. That to me is surprising, but as our guys here were trying to get their internet figured out, trying to figure out how to flip their front camera to their back camera, to their back camera to their front camera. I talked about Stanquan Clark being, you know, potentially an MVP type player in the spring game because of the opportunity created for him. And to me, I try to think through, like, you're a starter, you're a presumed starter. What could have happened between where we ended up last season and where we're going this season? Unless, like, he's from what, Valdosta, Georgia, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
So, like, maybe Georgia is offering a bag, or maybe, you know, there's some, you know, that's, but it just feels to me like maybe there's a little bit of pressure to where that snap count might start to take a dip into a place where maybe they don't want it to go. So maybe that says more Matt, Keith, Vince about Stanquan Clark in year two than it does about necessarily the deflection of a starting linebacker. I don't know. I'm not necessarily trying to make excuses. I'm just trying to make sense of it.
I would say that's probably a very Me and Vince, I think we're going the same direction.
You're nail on the head, Jacob. Like, a lot of times when I think guys get in the portal for two reasons, bag or you're not getting playing time.
Yeah.
The one or the two reasons. Like that's my opinion, but
that's fair opinion.
Kind of what I think was happening there. And I agree with you. I think I guarantee you him and Penny both were not getting the snaps that they assumed or thought they would be getting in the spring. And like I mentioned before, spring ball is, you know, kind of a tryout in a lot of ways. Getting a lot of different guys in and a lot of different looks, and maybe they were like, oh, I really like being cussed out like this and being put in a different position.
Help me understand this. Just trying to think through this process of spring football to portal this quickly. Like, you guys, we've talked about, like, this isn't fall camp. This isn't where we're competing at our spot, where we're, like, in the details, ready to go for the season. How are these players making these is this the byproduct of the portal where these decisions are being made so much earlier than what they probably should? Like, they're anticipating what might happen in the fall, like, because
yes,
you know what I'm saying?
Yes, whenever, like, I would, like, you could get a good gauge of the depth chart in the spring as a player.
Sure.
Like, you can sit there and lie to yourself all you want and like, I mean, not even lie to yourself. You can be optimistic, I would say, and be like, oh, well, when fall camp rolls around, when X, Y, Z rolls around. Well, you develop these relationships and your depth chart kind of in the spring, and then you go to these mat drills and things like that, and all of a sudden you're still taking 2 reps. And you're still taking 3 reps, and you're still taking 2 and 3 reps. You're not really getting that opportunity, and that opportunity doesn't come until pads are on in fall camp. And now you really have to fight and claw and fight and claw to get into that depth, to actually get into that depth chart.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
yeah, you
have to be honest with yourself at this
moment. Especially if you're a guy who only has 2 years of eligibility left, like Alderman 100%. Does. You see a guy like Stanquan Clark, who I believe he played enough to lose his red shirt last year, which realistically that kid's talented enough. He wouldn't play a full 5 years anyway.
Right.
So you see a kid who's got as much eligibility as you, if not more, who's climbing that depth chart. And it's like, oh, he's getting as many reps. He's getting more reps than me. Okay.
Yeah. You see that a lot when dudes like change positions. Like I remember when, Tobias Little got moved to the tight end room in 2019 with Scott Satterfield. You know, he started getting a little butthurt a little bit because, you know, we moved Tobias over there for a reason. And that reason was to get him on the field. So, I mean, stuff like that. I mean,
yeah, but he didn't want to block. He's like, coach, I want the ball. Yeah. Give me the damn football. I'm not trying to get out. It's not, those two are not equivalent. Getting me out on the field where I'm blocking versus getting down on the field where I get the ball. Those are not equal, coach.
But, well, he could have been Marshawn Ford on
CS. Yes. So, sort of piggyback on that position change, I know we mentioned it on an earlier live show, TJ Capers appeared to be getting more reps at the linebacker position as opposed to playing at the edge rusher, which is where we initially thought he was going to go. Maybe that pep talk at the beginning of the year put a little fire under him, and maybe he's competing for some of those reps as well. So,
yeah, it might have. And
has caused the fall.
The dumb.
I simply asked the question. Damn it!
I'm just asking questions.
That's question. Put Jalen Alderman in the portal, man. That's the line. Those are the lines we're drawing today.
It's all your fault. We'll be right back after this commercial break.
The State of Louisville Podcast Network is home to From the Pink Seats podcast and is powered by Kern's Corner. Grab the best chili and patty melt in the city, right in the heart of the Highlands.
From the Pink Seats podcast is brought to you by the fine folks at Frankfort Avenue Liquor and Wine. You can find them at 2115 Frankfort Avenue, right next to the Manhattan Project. Full bar service and a full liquor store. Stop in there today and tell them From the Pink Seats podcast sent you.
Member Week is here at Lowe's. Don't miss your chance to get up to 40% off hundreds of items like paint, stain, tools, flooring, and more. Shop our exclusive deals happening in-store and online from May 8th through May 14th. Not a member? Join My Lowe's Pro Rewards for free today and get ready to save more. Lowe's, we help you save. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
He's been trying so hard to talk. Let him talk. All right, Matt, the mic is yours.
So, Keith, pull up this most recent comment in the chat real quick, because I know that's kind of like been the crux of like some of the rumors with Penny, because I know he put out there like, oh, you got me as a second or third back, and then like you got other people like, no, it's because they're broke, blah, blah, blah. And like the long and short of this comment is that it was not a rumor. I, with my own two eyes, saw that, you know, Penny Boone and Donald Janey were like pretty much 1A and 1B and kind of interchangeable in that. Like, of course, when push came to shove and like when the season starts against Austin Peay, I thought Penny Boone was going to be like the starting guy, but I didn't think he was going to be like the starter on this drive and then the next drive and then the next drive and the next drive. I thought it'd be how it would be more akin to how it was this past season, where Jaws got a drive, and then Isaac got a drive, and then Maurice got a drive, and then depending on how they were going, if someone had the hot hand, they'd get some more in-game reps. And so, you know, something like that. So, like, with Penny Boone saying, like, oh, you guys think I'm in second or third and I'm back? I mean, like, Yeah, Chaney was actively getting first team reps, and that as a byproduct of that, there were some reps where Penny was running with the second team. It's not to say he's a second. Good.
Sorry, I was going to say it's also a matter of fit. Like Penny Boone, I know early last season when they were playing Illinois, he was sort of splitting carries in the MAC, but he started to eventually take over and get that bell cow role where he was getting 15 some odd carries a game. And with his last year of eligibility, I think he came into Louisville seeing how much we used our running backs last year and thinking, okay, I'm going to come in, I'm going to get my 15 some odd carries a game. And that's just not what Jeff Brohm wants to do. He right. made that adjustment out of necessity. And
yes, yes, that's maybe crucial.
So, and I'll say this for all the transfer, at least the big name transfers that are on the way out, because I know we've lost a few more in the previous window, but I don't think it's necessarily a talent matter for why these individuals are leaving or chasing a bag or anything like that. I think the team is deeper than all of us expected. A lot of these young guys are coming along quick, so playing time's scarce, and when your earning potential is a finite resource and you only have so long to use it, you want to maximize that opportunity and maximize the amount of chances you have to impress a scout to move on to the next level. So for the four guys confirmed, and since if we're at four, we're still technically over the max for the ones to come. There's going to be more to go, sadly, but that's the game now, especially when you bring in 20 something transfers in an offseason.
You mentioned right there, Keith, and we've talked about it before with us being over the limit. Like, I'm not really worried about some of the guys leaving per se. Like, I have confidence that the guys leaving right now are probably leaving for a reason, and that reasoning being is them not getting the playing time that they do.
Yeah,
you know, and with us being over the limit, it is what it is. Appreciate everything everybody's done. That pick six that Alderman had will go down as one of my most favorite plays of all time. But, you know, wish him the best of luck.
Absolutely. Yep.
Wish him all the best of luck. So
Sure. But can I say one thing on Penny? Here's the thing I'm struggling with. I think, and I'm not here to flame a fellow dad, first of all. Good for you for making a decision. If it's not for you, you're not only worried about the bag that you're getting now, but as we've heard from other folks who talk about NIL, it's like Brian said, it's about what's the future money or the real money is what's in the NFL, what's in the professional ranks, right? But with Penny, what I really struggle with, and I guess what I'm kind of glad mentality wise is exiting, is this lack of willing to compete. And it would be one thing if Jeff historically every year it's been one back, and maybe it has. I don't know. I don't know enough about Purdue running backs to know. But last season, what Isaac Garrido did should matter when you talk about what's available and how things change and how fluid they are week to week. That just really irks me. I get it. I don't knock him for it, but it just irks me a little bit that willingness to not compete because another transfer who didn't get really a big opportunity last year is maybe outperforming you in 4 weeks of practice. And then a freshman is playing well. I don't know. I would think that if you were the MAC player of the year, you want to move up, the chip would be on your shoulder. No, I'm not going anywhere, man. They're going to have to deal with me. I'm fucking Penny Boone. I am 6'4". He's not 6'4". I forget what his height is, but 240, and I run a 4.440. Eventually, I might not have gotten the offense down yet, but give me the spring. Give me the rest of the offseason to learn the offense. When we get back into camp, I'm going to be a problem, and that spot is mine. But instead, and again, I can't knock him for it. The portal mentality is I'm going to go somewhere else.
And it's probably a lot of, discomfort, right?
I get it, yeah.
You're learning a new offense, everything like that. You're probably getting yelled at a lot more than you're used to at Toledo. So the easiest thing to do is to bounce and run away from it.
Yeah.
It's disappointing, like you said, Jacob.
It is.
It's a different day and age. I mean, my dad always told me, he said, there's 1,000 of you in the country. What are you going to do to separate yourself? You are not anything special, you know, basically.
Yeah. I feel that as a podcast host. That's good advice.
Mentality, and you just have to flip your mindset when you're at that level.
Yeah.
Look at who you were around. I mean, I was around Lamar Jackson. That is when I realized I will never have like obviously yeah. You go into college with those dreams and aspirations, but you get on the field and you see a dude do the stuff that he was doing, and you're like, okay, that's it. Like, I understand what everybody's talking about, this separation gap between collegiate and NFL players.
So. That's just because you're not chasing around little David on the Eastern Eagles who doesn't want to play football to begin with anymore. You're playing with the big boys at the college level.
Hey, Ramon Carrier was one of them Eastern Eagles. I don't want to hear any Eastern Eagles slander.
No, it's no slander. I'm just it's the reality of the football program. But real quick, Matt, what I wanted to say was, I think it's a really positive thing that in some of these places, like a running back or like a defensive tackle, there's enough depth. But what I'm not going to do is act as if some of these players that we hyped up for months, and I mean, we've been talking about Penny being a damn good. I'm sorry, I'm an Eastern Eagle alumni, so I feel like if anybody can give them the hook, it's me. But hey, what I was gonna say was, when I was an Eastern, though,
that's hilarious.
They went 11-1 one of the 4 years that I was there, and the one loss was to Trinity, like 48-7. A very quick crash to reality of Eastern versus Trinity.
Must be nice.
You know, I think that might have been like a couple years before that. But Penny Boone is a big loss. Jermaine Lole, while you can go out and find a player who can probably provide the same type of production, some of the intangibles that you lose there are big. He's going to end up at a really nice school. And then there's going to be more. I mean, obviously, Jalen Alderman, you know, we'll see what happens with some of the names that were mentioned on some of those reports of Tyler Barron or Luke Burgess. Two cents on that real quick,
though, Jacob.
Sure, go ahead.
He's putting himself in a bad situation again. Like, even you can think this is a smart move all you want, but you're putting yourself behind the eight ball because now you have to relearn a whole other playbook. And
yes.
I get that people think running back is just, you know, really simple, like, you know, take the ball, find a hole and go, but it's not. And a running back can get a quarterback killed in pass protection. And if he goes to the left when he's supposed to go to the right, he's going to get somebody's head taken.
So that's honestly the thing I'm going to miss most about Penny Boone was his pass blocking, but.
Right. I mean,
guy was a dog in pass, bro. But he's not dead. He's just in the portal.
That's right. But he goes into the allure of like Luke McCaffrey now. Like he's in that realm.
Yeah. Oh, that one's going to hurt.
That one hurts, man.
You're dead to me.
Luke McCaffrey really hurts. Like, can you imagine Luke McCaffrey last season in Jeff Brohm's offense? Are you kidding me? Like, come on, man. That would have been, he actually ended up being a nice. Dude, he's going to be like a second round
draft pick.
He's going to be a draft
pick. Yeah. He switched positions to wide out and just balled.
Yeah. I remember looking up his stats like halfway through.
Vince is just.
I can't stand that family. Cannot stand.
Vince is about to go through the five stages of grief in 30 seconds.
So done. There's no way this man thought he was going to come in and compete with Malik Cunningham. There's no way.
I remember looking up his stats midway through last season because I was like, oh, yeah, I remember he used to, you know, be here for a cup of coffee. I wonder how he's doing. And then I saw his stats. I'm like, oh, shit, he's actually balling.
It's like a 1,000-yard receiver. It. Yeah. It's
Just think, Luke, he could have been in the NFL 2 years earlier if he would have switched to wide receiver.
Look, it could have done him a favor. Okay, let's land the plane here. Let's go into the last topic of the show. Let's talk about the players that Louisville might potentially look at to replace some of these players that will portal. And again, there's going to be more. I mean, the game is going to be Friday. Some of these guys will play and they will hit the portal Friday night, Saturday morning, into next week. I don't know. I think we go up until May 1st. So we got a little bit of time here. The basketball portal. Is that football too? I'm pretty sure that was basketball.
I think it's hockey.
It's football.
Okay. It's hockey portal too. Look, I've been in the lacrosse portal for the last couple of weeks, guys.
Are we
going
to talk about University of Minnesota Duluth hockey?
I'm in there.
No.
Yeah, man. Let's do it. Let's talk a little. Yeah, Minnesota. Is that the same thing as
Cloud State?
Minnesota Minnetonka? Is there a Minnetonka?
Denver Pioneers, the national champions.
Denver's nice. Okay. Back on track. Who really got on the portal? I'll start with the guy who, talent wise, I would absolutely love Louisville to get their hands on. I don't think it's going to happen because of the culture fit, but Cormani McClain, five-star cornerback out of high school. I believe he initially flipped from Florida to Miami and then flipped from Miami to Colorado.
Yeah, man. And his recruitment was enough for me to say I'm out. No, thank you.
So
no, thank and, you.
And, I think he and thought plus, he might.
And what plus, was that? Like the cornerback room is already stacked.
Yeah. Okay. Add more weapons. Plus, he's a freshman. He doesn't even have to play right away. Now, granted, he's probably going to want to.
This is about to be key.
See, I'm more of the Brooks Koepka, like it. I'll start stroking guys. No, the talent is there that I would be willing to take a chance on. And then worst case, if it doesn't pan out, okay, he hits the portal again.
Yeah, but, again, right.
Man, the talent's there. If you can get the maturity to like cooperate, because one of the things I think he thought he was getting into when he went to Colorado was seeing like, oh, Deion when recruiting is about like flash and NIL and branding, but he's an old school football coach once you're in the door. So like he's a no nonsense guy. And you listen to like things he said, like, oh, like when Travis Hunter got hurt, oh, are we going to see Cormani? And it's like what we heard earlier talking about TJ Capers, when Cormani starts doing the right things, then he'll see the field. So,
and he was a
butted lot heads with the staff.
I remember that comment. He was definitely a lot more.
So he butted heads a bit with some old style coaching. From what I've read, we're mentioned as going after him, but it sounds like he's wanting to go back to South Florida or somewhere sunny,
warm,
I believe was the actual
weather.
Quote.
Yes, warm so, weather. Yeah,
warm weather.
Hey, Mike Rutherford says it's sunny Louisville, Kentucky every time he starts a show. Come on.
Yeah, man. No, so, when you talk about Louisville and you talk about the potential, everyone says that the weather in November is the number one thing that brings them here. I mean, who doesn't love a good tornado followed by some snow? Like, that's what we all are here
for. Snow-nado.
Yeah, right. So I like the talent, right? But when you have a guy like Quincy Riley, when you have a Tavion Nicholson, when you have a oh, man, I'm blanking on all of the corners now. Corey Thornton, like, there's no need to bring in a potential cancer. Not saying that he would be. That's not fair. But when you see the recruitment that he went through, I mean, he recruited.
I would argue you have veterans at the position who could help get his act together.
But true.
Especially like something he didn't necessarily have at Colorado, because while, like, I don't like the recruiting strategy we use of bringing in 20, Colorado brought in like 50 guys last year.
Yeah. And
there
were
no culture guys at Colorado.
You got to DM the coach's sons if you're interested. I mean, come on, man. Can we
talk
about
tough. That's tough. So there are culture guys here. And I feel like if a guy with that much talent, you take a chance, get him in the door, it could yield huge rewards.
Yeah. I mean,
but
yes.
I understand the hesitation for wanting to do it. So,
yeah.
I think with Louisville, and we can get back on track in a second. If I think their portal strategy for like the spring window is just like plug in and play, like depending on who you lose. Like obviously they might need to get another linebacker, but I mean I think the inside linebacker is mostly fine because I think Stanquan Clark should be able to step in the starting role. Jurante Davis has looked good. TJ Capers is starting to look good, so I think they're good at linebacker. I think the one position that they do definitely need to hunt, regardless of who else enters, is at wide receiver. Because, I mean,
why? Why? For the average fan who says you just went out and you got Ja'Cory Brooks, you got Colin Lacey, you got Antonio Meeks, you're bringing in JoJo Stone, you already have Jaleel McClain, you already have Katara Hicks, you already have. Why would you need to go get more receivers?
Because you want as many. Because what the problem was with last season, you knew for a fact that Jamari Thrash was going to be like the clear-cut wide receiver one. It was going to be like, okay, who else behind him is going to, you know, step up and be kind of be like his
counterpart, sidekick,
number two? Yes, counterpart. Mm. It's like, you know what I mean? That,
yes.
Adjacent to that. And there were guys that had flashes. But knowing the main thing with the passing game, other than the fact that there was basically no passing option with tight ends, is that there was not like a consistent second option at wide receiver. now you look at the wide receiver room and you can say, okay, Ja'Cory Brooks and then Colin Lacy. And then the same conversation is, oh, I've heard like so-and-so is looking better in spring, or so-and-so, like he's got these young bucks coming in, like these young freshmen. If Jeff Brohm truly wants to have like the passing offense that he wants to have, you want to get at least one more like wide receiver one caliber guy. Yeah,
you should be rotating in probably six, maybe seven total wide receivers if you're running a spread offense like he wants.
Especially because Colin Lacy's not going to split out wide. I mean, he could, but I mean, that's not his game at all. I saw Colin Lacy. Jacob might be taller than him.
What are you trying to say, man? I'm somewhat tall. Like, I'm like 5'9" and a half. I'm taller than my wife.
Yeah. And to this commenter's point, Chris Bell, I mean, Chris Bell has looked good.
My boy.
It's not a guarantee that he's going to, you know, really like make that next step. I mean, he's had loads of potential. He's looked really good in the spring, but
grown ass
man. Is that going to guarantee to translate in the fall?
Okay, so
let me. A lot of guys' routes on air look real pretty, Matt. Look real pretty, and then DB gets in front of them.
Let me go here. Wide receiver, I get it, but what realistically, Keith? This is probably more of a question for you, right? What realistically are you going to find in the portal that's a number one wide receiver, unless you are going to get a guy from a group of, you know, non-power, I don't know what they call it, group of six or non-power five schools or an FCS school, but like that's Antonio Meeks. I mean, I know he's D2 coming up, but like help me understand, what are you going to really get? It doesn't make any sense.
So that's sort of the tricky thing, especially with spring window. Like usually if a guy's hitting the portal for the spring window, they're doing it for a reason. Exactly, I don't necessarily think that the answer is going to – now, there are exceptions, like a Bear Williams last year, or why am I blanking on his name? Give me a second to research. Someone filibuster.
I like silence. I learned at radio that air. Silence is a good thing, actually. Like, not like a lot of silence, but like somebody texted me during the Monday show and said, you and Matt should just give – like should have a breath. Like just take a breath. Let there be silent air. And I tried it. And it was nice. I really did. Learning to live with silence is a uncomfortable part of life.
And I thought I was on the wrong station.
Oh, as a ex radio employee, I could not stand dead air. So,
while you're all filibuster, going back to my point about needing another wide receiver, I mean, someone who I think could be a good fit, simply because like he's had production. And he's had production at a power conference place, and you know, got to build that budding Houston to Louisville pipeline.
well, that pipeline might be leaking a little bit.
Yeah, no kidding. Is Sam Brown? I mean, he entered the portal a couple days ago in Houston. He's been with Houston the last 2 years. Started his career at West Virginia. Played two seasons there. In Houston's first season in the Big 12 last year, he had 62 catches for 815 and 3 touchdowns. I mean, that's wide receiver one material right there, if you ask me.
You know what's not wide receiver one material is Cameron Perry at Indiana, who I just looked up his numbers. He has 3 career receptions, but I saw in the article today from, I believe it was 247 Sports, they listed Louisville as a school that's reached out to him. 5'9", wide receiver, smaller guy. Like, we should have just gotten Jalen Lucas if that was going to be what we were doing.
A lot of the smaller guys, it's like they might not have the capability to go over top of guys and everything like that.
Yeah,
but a lot of them are your better, you know, they are better at deciding the coverage as the play's happening and developing and things like that. Mm-hmm. Good at finding areas and holes in the defense. And a lot of the smaller guys had the better routes outside of like Tutu, who rounded off absolutely everything until he got to the NFL. But I mean, smaller receivers aren't bad.
So, and to harbor back onto Matt's point, just because I was looking around, like one of the highest rated receivers that's uncommitted in the portal right now is leaving our neighbors to the east, Raymond Cottrell, who transferred from ATM to Kentucky, did a spring, for whatever reason, decided it wasn't for him and hopped out. So that's what you're looking at right now. While they might be rated highly, I think they're in the portal for a reason, and I don't think you're going to be able to find a number one guy.
That's my that's my concern as well. You got it. Yeah. Thomas Jackson.
No, T. Jackson. I'm not having it.
Now, a question, and especially like Matt, Vince, Jacob, you all have been at the practice. So this commenter brought up a question that I was curious about as well. Not just at the tight end position, like they mentioned, but also at the offensive line position. We brought in a ton of guys. So we brought in, I believe it was 5 guys on the O-line with 1 year of eligibility left, plus Pete Nigra. And then I believe we brought in, was it 3 or 4 tight ends?
I believe most of them, four.
They brought in 4. Redmond. Isaiah Cummings, Mark Redmond, Khalil Skinner, and then Dylan Mesman.
Yeah.
And the 3 transfers we brought in all have 1 year of eligibility left, if I'm correct, right?
Jaleel's only a redshirt sophomore. He's heading into redshirt sophomore season, so he's got time.
Okay.
Plus,
we also have guys on the roster too that are coming back as well. So yeah. Kariski and Jamari.
I do think like either someone in there is going to be reverted to more so a blocking tight end, because I mean Dwayne Martin's the only one who's really that, and he's like more of a fullback. But yeah, it does seem like there's it almost seems like there's too many options now, because
I'm worried someone's gonna like, because we've got Redmond who's gonna come in, and while I would be surprised if he made it out, Dylan Messman's nice. He's going to command playing time early.
Kariski also played well when he got the opportunity. I think they talked about, I forget whether it was Jeff Brohm or the tight ends coach that talked about him this week in media availability being, you know, kind of coming along. There's options there. Let me run through the list real quick here, and let's go ahead and we'll wrap the show up here. We're approaching just over the hour mark, but some other names that have been linked to Louisville is Dallin Hayden, a running back at Ohio State. You've got Trent Howland, another Indiana guy. We're really going after Indiana players this past season. It's really seems to be a trend.
They were a pain in our ass.
They really were, man. That offensive game plan in the second half was actually really smooth. Then you've got Rene Conga, who is a defensive lineman from Rutgers that got the Willie Tyler stamp of approval today via Twitter. Cameron Perry, I believe a redshirt freshman out of Indiana that has very limited statistics, but has some potential. Doesn't seem like a guy that you're going to spend your scholarships on at this point. And then the guy that I believe is the reason why you don't need a Cremani McClain if you're going after a corner is Jordan Dunbar out of Rice, the cornerback who was second team all conference, I believe, not this past season. I'm pretty sure he missed all of 2023, but in 2022 was a second team all conference defensive back. And if I'm not mistaken, there's another former all conference USA defensive back that's on Louisville's roster. Pretty good. So, there's some names. It's going to continue to grow. Biggest need, though, real quick, collectively, what do you guys say? I think we've talked about wide receiver, defensive line, offensive line. What do you guys think? Just quickly.
I mean, I would say wide receiver, obviously. And then I do think offensive line, just because, like, there's some, like, uncertainties with some – one, with some of the guys, like, are they going to hit the portal or they not? And even before all these reported portal dominoes started falling, like, I mentioned it to Keith, and we kind of talked about it, is that over, like, some of the open practices, it took me a little bit for it to click, but, like, I don't know if there were, like, miscommunications with some of the tackles or at that position, but, like, edge rushers were getting way too many free shots in the backfield, and it's not like someone was, like, holding up a block and, like, they had bad technique or fundamentals and letting them go. There was bad communication and just letting them go on by. So, like, either something's got to change with, like, some of the offending parties there in terms of, you know, correcting that, or, you know, they'll get someone else from the portal who will understand it.
Well, I would argue the one position that you can always chalk up is probably not the greatest in the portal is O-line, because when schools get good linemen in there, you don't let them go.
That's right.
Because O-line play – and this isn't me just tooting my old position's horn, like, it's hard to find nowadays, because usually when you have a kid that's like 6'5" and in high school, and it's like, let's say he's 250, you have him cut a few pounds and become an edge rusher because the game has determined that's more valuable than having an offensive tackle that can move. So,
yeah.
Like,
sorry, the ghost of Benny Boone is haunting my room again.
You said his name again.
He's back. So, he is back. Okay, let's go. We got one more here.
Wide receiver is definitely the biggest need. I mean, yeah, just because of the amount of injuries that could also go down in that room. Hamstrings, anything.
Yeah. You're constantly... Sure, sure. And you need, need weapons here. Good. Yeah.
All right. Matt, there you go. Quick question to end on. What you got? Who do you think is going to be the starters?
I think it's going to be Monroe Mills, Michael Gonzalez, Pete Nigra, Lance Robinson, and then Jonathan Mendoza.
Dang, no Renato Brown, no Austin Collins?
Well, Collins, he's looked good, but I think he's going to be like someone like a sixth man. Renato, I didn't say because like he's still kind of coming back from the injury.
That's fair.
And like Lance, when he was taking reps at right guard, he looked good.
I did not like that his name was in that original group of transfers. He looked really good in the USC game. And then when I saw him in practice, I think I said something to Vince, like, Lance Robinson is that dude. If you give him snaps, like he can play. He's a mauler, man.
Just to see where Renato shakes out and all this with his injury and bouncing back from that.
We got to keep him. Don't let him portal. Keep him rehabbing. Let's keep him here, man. Because I really like him.
With regards to O-line, you usually want to have like 8 guys who you have available to take like conference game time. So if he's not one of those immediate starters coming in, would not shock me if he's like the tackle backup or maybe even guard backup, since that's where he was playing previously over Austin.
I think guys like, you know, Renato Brown, they'll, and Austin Collins, they'll still absolutely be in the mix, and they might have like, you know, pseudo starter roles. I mean, and we'll see about what with some of these other transfers too. I mean, we haven't heard Victor Cutler or Rasheed Miller's name mentioned a lot, but
that's right. Rasheed Miller,
which honestly, if you, the tackle struggles you were mentioning, we could see Renato try to pop back out to tackle again. If he comes back healthy.
It's
a good problem to have.
It is. Last thing on the offensive line. There is just, I'm overwhelmed at the number of misses. Like, if you look at who Louisville has taken the last couple of years and then gone back into the portal, they've gone down levels, right? John Paul Flores was an offensive guard who's now playing in his 8th season of college football this year, coming up at Liberty. Then you have Vincent Lumia, who was hurt, didn't play a ton last year, who had come over from Duquesne. You know, we mentioned Ruben Yanije, who came over from Houston. There was another one in here. I'm trying to find the Joshua Black, who ends up at Georgia State. So, like, they've had a bunch of guys going to the portal that were offensive linemen.
Also, the hardest position to evaluate.
It sure seems that way.
That is true. But, I mean, I'll let the cake bake a little bit on Jeff Brohm's ability to, like, recruit and identify and develop talent on the O-line, because it's kind of hard to tell that after one year.
Sure.
But I will say, with some of the guys that Scott Satterfield brought in and developed, like, there were some really good ones. Obviously, a guy like, you know, Michael Mekhi Gonzalez Becton. and Mekhi Becton, but wasn't Becton already here when Satterfield got here?
Yeah. But
regardless, he still helped.
Too many hits to the head. I don't remember.
I mean, you had guys like Mekhi, Michael, Brian, like, they brought in and developed. So there were some really, really good hits. But there were also some really, really, really bad misses at the same time. So, like, you've got, like, a very unevenly balanced position group over, like, a significant period of time. That's just my opinion there.
Yeah, no, it's just an observation. And it's frustrating because, like, this whole thing is frustrating. Like, you bring guys in, they leave, and then you need depth guys. And you're like, well, what about the guys that were just like, it's a lot. Yeah, I see why people are like, I can't keep up with it, but I'm a nerd. I sent you all a spreadsheet of 8. There's like 12 tabs on this spreadsheet of transfers and decommitments and interested players. Like, it's nerdy in here, guys. So just ignore that. But I can't thank you all enough for tuning in tonight to our last pre-spring live show, because the next time we do this, we'll be after spring. We have a game to recap next week, which is an exciting feeling.
Yeah.
We've got a plan for off-season content that is coming soon, I promise. So we will get there. We've got some great guests again, as we did last off-season. But we will see you all out hopefully on Friday night. Let's get out there.
Get out there.
I know it's just spring football, but the weather is expected to be nice. It's the night before Thunder. Mm-hmm. Let's get out there. There's going to be some basketball players out there. Let's go
parking
out there
lot
and have
open
a good
up.
Time.
What time's the parking lot open up? At 4 hours before, think, like,
I'll be out there at 3 a.m. I don't know.
I think it's 2 hours before, so probably
five. You guys, actually, the last thing I'll say before we get out of here, I am going to teach a financial literacy class for elementary students on Friday before the spring game. That's what I'm doing before we get out there. I'm going straight from that to the game. So wish me some luck. I did not realize that's what I was doing when I signed up to help in this project. I thought we were going to be teaching advertising because that's what I do for a living. And then I got there and they're like, actually, it's financial literacy. So wish me luck. I'm going to
bring your W-2.
I will be stoked to drink a beer. So please have one in hand. Vince, I actually need some more koozies. So if you could bring some of those,
yes,
that would be fantastic. Keith, I'm going to give you the biggest hug when I see you, man. I can't wait because all of our communication has been virtual. So I'm extremely excited to be out there. Matt, you're going to be too busy for us, just like you always are. I already know.
I'll
no interest in hanging out.
Don't forget your top hat and monocle, Matt.
Oh, I'll come down and see you peasants.
Yeah, exactly.
From my ivory tower.
We'll be down there, whether it's rain or shine, and Matt's up in that press box with those cookies, man. That's just how it always goes. We're going to get out of here. Thank you all so much for tuning in. Be sure to get out there Friday night. We will be back next week breaking the game down, talking some of the specifics. Portal's going to be heating up, so things are exciting right now in the world of football. But until then, from the Pink Seats Podcast, Jacob, Vince, Keith, Matt, we'll get out of here. Go Cards.
Don't miss the biggest Maytag sale of the year at Lowe's. You'll find the Maytag appliances you need, when you need them, at a great price. Plus, when you buy two select laundry appliances, you'll get up to a $100 bonus via instant rebate. Shop Maytag at Lowe's. We help, you save. Offer valid through 531. See store for pricing and offer details. Advertise savings on all major Maytag appliances through Maytag.com and participating retailers. Prices may vary. Additional terms and conditions apply.